Tonight, a deadly killing spree in California. A gunman on a rampage, apparently firing at random, including at an elementary school. Children hiding in horror. At least 5 people are dead and 10 wounded at multiple shooting scenes. There's breaking news on the GOP tax plan. Republicans adding a repeal of the Obamacare individual mandate to the bill, bringing the fight over health care roaring back. Dramatic turns in the Roy Moore standoff as the Senate Majority Leader floats the idea of Attorney General Jeff Sessions returning to his old Senate seat. Moore refusing to budge as new details emerge of whispers and warnings for years in his hometown. Has a serial killer struck again? A man walking to church to feed the homeless gunned down. Police baffled in a city swept by fear. And it's a sale of biblical proportions. They're calling it the Last Da Vinci, about to go on the block for at least $100 million. But will the winner get what they pay for?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West, which is where we start tonight. Our top story still developing. Mass violence shattering yet another American community. 5 people, including the killer, are dead. Several are wounded, among them 2 children, after a gunman in Northern California randomly opened fire at several locations, including a school. At this hour, authorities in Rancho Tehama Reserve, 2 hours north of Sacramento, are still trying to get a handle on why it happened. NBC's Joe Fryer now with late-breaking details.
The gunman opened fire in 7 different locations across a small Northern California community, authorities say. One of those places, an elementary school where one student was shot and injured. At other scenes, victims were killed.
Listen, people died here today, folks. This is a very tragic event for all of us. There are children involved. It's an emotional thing.
It all happened inside a rural community called Rancho Tehama Reserve. The first shots were fired just before 8 a.m., a rampage that lasted about 45 minutes.
I heard the shots around 8 o'clock in the morning, about 20 shots. You know, it surprised me because it's not normal.
In all across the community, 10 people were wounded and 5 others died, including the gunman who was shot by 2 officers. Authorities say they recovered a semi-automatic rifle and 2 handguns from the suspect.
He's a bad guy, and I'm not going to glorify him in any manner whatsoever. He attacked my school.
2 of the wounded victims, a mother and child, were inside this pickup truck on their way to school.
And he opened fire on them without provocation or warning.
Once the gunman arrived at the school, investigators say he stood outside and fired into the building, striking 1 student. Neither of the children who were shot died. Brian Flint says the suspect was his neighbor and had recently made threats.
The crazy thing is that the neighbor has been shooting a lot of bullets lately, hundreds of rounds, large magazines.
Tonight, investigators say the gunman had an ongoing dispute with a woman after a storm of violence raged through this tight-knit community. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
There is breaking political news tonight from Washington as the fight over Obamacare has suddenly come roaring back. Senate Republicans trying to push through a sweeping and controversial tax plan, now planning to add a repeal of the Obamacare mandate. That's the heart of the law that requires everyone to purchase health insurance. It's a move that has already set off a firestorm. And we get late details now from NBC's Kristen Welker.
Tonight, a risky and surprising move by Senate Republicans, adding a provision to their tax bill that would repeal the Obamacare individual mandate, the requirement that everyone has to buy health insurance or pay a fine. Republicans say the move will lower the cost of the overall tax package and allow for more middle-class tax breaks.
We're optimistic that inserting the individual mandate repeal would be helpful.
The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office found repealing the individual mandate would cause as many as 13 million people to lose their coverage over 10 years. The move could alienate some moderate Republicans. And tonight, Democrats are lashing out.
The people this is going to hit are middle class people that ostensibly this whole bill was supposed to be about helping.
Why the change? Conservative Republicans pushed to remove the individual mandate as a part of tax reform. And so did President Trump, tweeting from Asia earlier this week, how about ending the unfair and highly unpopular individual mandate in OCARE? The action will help the Senate meet the budgetary requirements critical for passing the bill while fulfilling a key GOP campaign promise.
Immediately repealing and replacing Obamacare.
It's a disaster.
It seemed tax reform was on a glide path. This last-minute change could derail what is basically Republicans' last best chance for a major legislative win this year.
Maybe a poison pill in that it takes any chances of this passing in the United States Senate and throws it in the garbage.
There is no plan for the House to add the Obamacare language to its bill, which means the two chambers will have to reconcile yet another major difference in their two plans, all underscoring the significant challenges ahead. Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House tonight. Thank you. Now to the tense standoff over that critical Alabama Senate seat. While the chorus of lawmakers calling for candidate Roy Moore to drop out of the race grows, tonight a leading Republican is openly discussing the possibility of a last-minute write-in campaign for a surprising new candidate. This comes as we're learning new details about Moore's alleged interactions with teenage girls. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest.
Tonight, amid a growing political firestorm, the Senate's top Republican is publicly floating the idea of Attorney General Jeff Sessions as a write-in alternative to Roy Moore.
The Alabamian who would, you know, fit that standard would be the Attorney General, right, who's totally well-known and extremely popular in Alabama.
With a growing number of Republicans urging Moore to drop out, Sessions said today he believes the accusers.
I am have no reason to doubt these young women.
He said, I am the district attorney of Etowah County, and if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you.
The latest one, Beverly Young Nelson, claims Moore signed her yearbook shortly before the alleged assault, calling her a beautiful girl.
I never did what she said I did. I don't even know the woman.
Despite that signature looking similar to Moore's signatures in other public documents, his campaign said today it's fake.
No, it's not his signature. He did not sign that yearbook, and so we're doing our best to try to have that documented and verified.
In Gadsden, Alabama, where Moore was a district attorney, some residents say he often hung around this local mall. Greg Legant used to work there in the early 80s. He says Moore had been banned from the mall, and he remembers speaking with a local police officer about it.
He said, if you see him, let me know. I'll take care of it. And I questioned why, and the police officer would not tell me. And after he left, I asked my manager, and he said he had been bothering the girls in the mall.
As Moore's opponent, Doug Jones, largely avoids the controversy, the race may be tightening.
I think he's a little different than what I believed him to be.
But Moore clearly has strong support.
Sometimes when you want a leader, you accept some problems that they have.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the GOP will discuss its options further once President Trump returns from his overseas trip. Tonight, a top Alabama GOP official confirms that the RNC has ended its field operation helping the Roy Moore campaign in the state. Lester?
Gabe Gutierrez in Alabama tonight. Thank you. Meantime, there are new policies coming meant to combat sexual harassment on Capitol Hill. The announcement comes after members of Congress have revealed publicly their own stories of being harassed and those of staffers. Our Capitol Hill correspondent, Casey Hunt, has details.
Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill today acknowledging she was sexually harassed as a congressional intern in the 1970s. Back then, she didn't say anything.
I didn't feel like I could. Back when I was an intern in Capitol Hill, I felt like I had to, you know, worry more about how I was being perceived in terms of my future career, and I was afraid.
The issue under a microscope today at a hearing focused on harassment. Congresswomen in both parties leveling separate, direct accusations at unnamed colleagues.
In fact, there are two members of Congress, Republican and Democrat, right now, who serve.
This member asked a staffer to bring them over some materials to their residence and was greeted with a member in a towel, who was a male, who then invited her in. At that point, he decided to expose himself.
The newspaper Roll Call surveyed Capitol Hill staffers last July and found 40% of women said sexual harassment on the Hill is a problem. And one in every six said they had personally experienced harassment or assault. Only one in 10 said they knew where to go for help. Former Hill staffer Travis Moore started circulating a letter demanding change after a friend told him her story of harassment.
The processes in place in Congress are incredibly archaic, and whether intentional or not, they discourage victims from coming forward with their stories.
Complaints go to the Office of Compliance, which requires a 30-day cooling-off period before women can file suit.
The system we have in place is not working.
For McCaskill, change has been 3 decades coming.
Hopefully it will put everybody on notice that they're no longer going to be able to prey on people.
Congresswoman Spear testifying today that taxpayers have covered at least $15 million worth of sexual harassment claims over the last 10 to 15 years. And tonight, House Speaker Paul Ryan mandating sexual harassment training for all members and staff. Lester.
All right, Casey Hunt, thank you. And elsewhere at the Capitol today, Attorney General Jeff Sessions on the hot seat telling Congress that he doesn't feel any pressure from President Trump to launch a new investigation into Hillary Clinton, despite the president's recent Twitter campaign. And Sessions insisted that he never did anything to help Russians influence the campaign. Our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, with that story.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you are about to give shall...
The attorney general insisted today that he's following his own path despite repeated calls from President Trump to investigate Hillary Clinton.
Should the president of the United States make public comments that might influence a pending criminal investigation?
A president cannot improperly influence an investigation.
Okay.
And I have not been improperly influenced and would not be improperly influenced.
Last night, the Justice Department sent a letter to Congress saying some of those Clinton issues are being investigated and could lead to another special counsel. But today, the attorney general seemed to lower expectations.
I would say looks like is not enough basis to appoint a special counsel.
Sessions said today he now does remember meeting with George Papadopoulos, the Trump campaign aide, who said at this March 2016 meeting that he wanted to go to Russia. That's a revision of Sessions' earlier testimony that he knew of no contacts between Trump surrogates and the Russians. He says news reports about that meeting refreshed his memory, and he responded angrily to suggestions that he keeps changing his story.
I don't think it's right to accuse me of doing something wrong. I had no participation in any wrongdoing with regard to influence in this campaign improperly.
Besides, he said the campaign was largely a blur.
It was a form of chaos every day from day one.
The attorney general seemed to be speaking to two audiences, showing the White House he's aware of what the president wants, but telling Congress there is a higher bar to appointing another special counsel, Lester.
Pete Williams in Washington, thank you. And a rare moment today in the nation's capital. For the first time in more than 40 years, the Senate began considering limits on a president's unchecked powers to launch a nuclear strike amid concerns about rising tensions with a nuclear-armed North Korea. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has more.
President Trump closely followed wherever he goes by a military aide with the nuclear codes. That's what worries some senators.
The president of the United States is so unstable, is so volatile, he might order a nuclear weapon strike that is wildly out of step with U.S. national security interests.
But ever since Harry Truman was president after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, if a president wants to launch an attack, no one can stop him. Not his defense secretary, not Congress, not the military officers who would fire the missiles.
The president has the sole authority to give that order, whether we are responding to a nuclear attack or not. Once that order is given and verified, there is no way to revoke it.
It's a growing concern because of President Trump's threats against Kim Jong-un.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
And fears both sides could miscalculate, with North Korean missiles able to reach the U.S. mainland in 30 to 40 minutes.
I worry about, frankly, access to nuclear codes.
At issue, should the president have to consult Congress before launching a preemptive strike? And could changing the law send mixed signals to adversaries?
These decisions have to be made in moments, and it is not going to be made by courts or by lawyers or by Congress. It's going to be made by the commander-in-chief.
The consensus tonight, no change, no matter who is president. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
Arriving home in the U.S. this evening, three UCLA basketball stars who were arrested in China for shoplifting last week. They include LiAngelo Ball, brother of NBA rookie sensation Lonzo Ball. The commissioner of the Pac-12 says, quote, the matter has been resolved to the satisfaction of the Chinese authorities. President Trump, on his visit to China, personally appealed to that country's leader on the players' behalf. There's a lot more to tell you about here this evening as a serial killer struck again. Another mysterious death in a community already on edge inside the intense police manhunt. Tonight, there are growing fears in and around Tampa, Florida, that a serial killer has struck again. A man walking to church shot to death, potentially the fourth victim of a killer leaving a neighborhood and a city in fear. Police are searching for answers, and NBC's Kerry Sanders has details.
60-year-old Ronnie Felton was on his way to feed the homeless at church when he was shot four times.
I ain't know what to do.
His twin, Reggie, had been on the phone with him moments before he was killed.
Why did you do it? You know, if you hear me, whatever, you know, just turn yourself in.
Police believe Felton is the fourth victim of a serial killer terrorizing this Tampa neighborhood.
When I got it mailed down in the middle of the street, Nebraska.
Witnesses reported hearing gunshots and seeing a man dressed all in black.
For 10 hours, heavily armed officers and federal agents searched every nook and cranny of a two-square-mile area.
People aren't supposed to live like this in this much fear and worry, and it's just not right.
Police have been patrolling these streets for weeks. Now, four victims all shot and killed within a seven-block area. Officials believe the killer could live in the neighborhood.
We just thought maybe our presence is what made them go underground. And now it appears that if it is the same person, they're not able to control that urge.
The only real lead, this video of a person of interest captured by a home security camera a month ago.
We're going to catch this guy. We're in this foxhole and we're not going anywhere. And we're going to be here till we do.
Tonight, another family mourns.
This is too much, too much.
As neighbors fear a serial killer who may strike again. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Tampa.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back in space, no one can hear your stomach growl. The special delivery astronauts have been craving. Here on Earth, getting a pizza delivery is pretty much a snap in most places, but it's a bit more complicated when you're orbiting 250 miles above Earth. Today, astronauts in the International Space Station got a special delivery from NASA that not only included all the fixings they needed for pizzas, they also got dessert, both chocolate and vanilla ice cream. A lot of buzz and excitement tonight about what they're calling The Last Da Vinci, a painting about to go to the highest bidder, and that could be someone willing to pay over $100 million. More than 25,000 people have lined up just to see it up close. It's called Salvator Mundi, depicting Christ as the Savior of the world, and it will be auctioned tomorrow here in New York. There are fewer than 20 existing Da Vinci paintings in the world. And Simply Flawless, a 163-carat, completely colorless diamond sold at auction in Geneva today for more than $33 million. It's the largest diamond ever discovered in Angola and hangs on a necklace of other diamonds and emeralds that took nearly 2,000 hours to create. Up next here tonight, having car trouble? The shop that doesn't charge a dime for repairs. Inspiring America is next. Finally tonight, if you've ever had to take your car into the shop, you know that repairs can cost hundreds, even thousands of dollars. But how does absolutely free sound to you? NBC's Katie Beck tells us the story of a garage that's inspiring America.
This garage in Conroe, Texas is as well oiled as its machines. But these volunteer mechanics labor without a paycheck. They don't want one.
It's definitely an investment from the heart.
Fixing more than engines. Here, they jumpstart people's lives. Women who could use a lift.
Smile.
Single moms, widows, and wives of deployed troops.
Stress seems to just fall off of them because they have a new start and they know it.
At God's Garage, their cars are fixed or a used car overhauled and given to them for free. Single mom Susan Lanuski needed a car to take her daughter for cancer treatment.
It saved her life and mine. And in reality, it really has.
Founder and former pastor Chris Williams started small in the garage attached to his home. 6 years later, a field of donated cars to give away. Now a nonprofit garage where miracles are as routine as maintenance. So are tears.
It's hard to hold back, huh?
Even my big burly mechanics will tear up and, you know, dust must be flying.
One of those moments came as once homeless single mom Elizabeth Rollins sits in her car for the first time, her new way to work.
with everything that's been going on, it's made everything a lot better.
A site giving everyone's soul a little tune-up. Katie Beck, NBC News, Conroe, Texas.
Some good guys. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.